Good evening, Lock Haven Baptist Church and church family. Thank you so much for joining me tonight here in the pastor's study. We're grateful to have this opportunity to be with you, and we're going to have a blessed time in the Word of God tonight. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40 when we get to the Word of God, and so we're thankful that we have this opportunity together. Let's join our hearts together in prayer, and then we'll see what the choir has in store for us tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you so very much, Lord, that we can meet together. Lord, we can spend time studying your word, and we can fellowship one with another through this technology that's here. What a blessing it has been, Lord, to be able to meet in your house once again this past month. We're looking forward, Lord, as you give us wisdom and direction and guidance to open the doors even further and meeting at our normal operating hours. But until then, Lord, we ask you to bless us tonight. Bless our opportunity, Lord, to be able to just praise you together. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we have a pretty good choir song lined up. Now, I'm a little biased because I love our choir. But listen as they sing. Jesus. What a song. I saw somebody type that they're having trouble hearing me. If everybody can hear me now, please send up a heart or thumbs up or something. Let me know that y'all can hear me as we go along. I see Sister Jennifer's watching. So I hope you can hear me. We're going to have a few announcements, and then I'm going to get a special lined up from Sister Dyer tonight. All right, there. I think everybody's sending up hearts now. There we go. Thank you very much. Let's look for some announcements. Remember, this Sunday, we begin Sunday school back at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock here in the church auditorium will be 13 years and up. That's combined Sunday school. The kids, 3 years old to 12 years old, will meet in the Discovery Club building, combined with Sister Stacy and Sister Jenny. They will be doing the teaching over there, and looking forward to adding that back to the church program. What a time it is to be able to spend an hour just studying the Word of God. It's important for our Sunday school hour. 11 o'clock in-service person live here at the church. Also be recorded or live streamed, I might say, through Facebook and YouTube. Continue to pray for Brother Bill in that situation. It has nothing to do with him. It's just technologies fighting each other, and we're trying to get it on both places, YouTube and Facebook and the church website. So he's got a lot in his plate, so pray that God will help him with that. Sunday afternoon, don't forget Sister Kim will be in the prayer closet with you ladies at 3 o'clock on her Facebook page. And you can pick up your bread if you want bread items here at the church at 11 o'clock Friday afternoon. And on Saturday, if you want to come up, the doors will be open. And then Sunday before church, they will be open as well to get any bread items that you might need. Looking forward to the first Sunday in June, where we'll be having a time of honor and dedication to our seniors, the graduating seniors of our church. We have 8 of those in our church this year, and so we want to make sure that we can honor them. Teens, look forward to seeing y'all on May 30th at 10:30 at the work scheduled time in the Family Life Center to help you with your teen fund. That's the only thing I see coming up right now. So let's see what Sister Dyer here has lined up to sing for us tonight.
Such a virtue to grow wordless fear.
peace of love, and I am so thankful that our Father is working on us, and He is well capable and well able to make us what He desires of us if we'll yield ourselves to Him. Let's look at a few prayer requests. I see other people have already started putting some up there, and we need to be in prayer about those items. Justin McKeon has actually had surgery this afternoon at 5 o'clock on his hand. He actually broke some bones in his back, so remember to pray for Justin McKeon. Miss Isabel Hathaway, some of you might remember her. Her husband passed away about 4 months ago. She fell and broke her hip about 30 days ago, a month now, and she's in rehab and still has not been able to have a visitor from her family yet. So praying that she will get out soon, or they will open the door so we can make a visit. She has two daughters that are still living, and they're not able to visit with her because of the restrictions that's put upon places of rehab. Remember our missionaries, and let's ask the Lord to bless them. The May 31st, we're actually going to have one of our missionary families with us. We're going to have the Martin family to Argentina. They're in the States, and they're going to be here reporting and giving us a live update in church service. So that's coming up the last Sunday of the month. But let's be in prayer for all of our missionary families. And let's ask the Lord to bless all the unspoken that we have here, our church and church family, our deacons, the Lock Haven Scripture Press, that God will still give us direction and guidance. Those that are struggling with medical issues and cancer, I know that there's many on our list. I'm not going to list them all. I'm going to play an instrumental song, and as it plays, let's go ahead and just join our hearts together in prayer, asking the Lord to intercede on behalf of these folks and the prayer requests. If you have any prayer requests, go ahead and type them in if you have not already. And I'll close at the end of this song with prayer. Church family. Lord, we have many folks that we know that are in our church or either family members or friends of our church that are ill and sick, and we pray, God, your hand of healing upon them. We thank you, Lord, for our missionary work that goes out through our church and church family as we pray and support them financially. We're looking forward to the Martins being with us here at the end of the month. We ask, God, you'd protect them all, keep them safe. Lord, we love you. We ask you, God, to continue your work in our lives, making us a masterpiece for you. We do ask you, Lord, to bless tonight as we study your word. We do thank you, Lord, that we have opportunity to meet together this evening. Bless us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Sister Yarborough said, please add her granddaughter's best friend, Riley. She broke her jaw in five places. Ooh, having surgery this Friday. Yes, please remember Riley. Let's go to the Bible, if you would, to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Let me write that down real quick. You have a last name, Miss Cindy. If you could add that there, I would be proud to write this down. All right. All right, Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 27. Now, last week I spent a little time dealing with a topic that is sometimes very uncomfortable. I dealt with the topic of sin. It's needful. We need to be reminded that sin is real. Sin separates us from our God. And we're thankful that God sent His only begotten Son to atone for the sin debt that we owe. And so sometimes dealing with the issue of sin, it is sometimes uncomfortable. Nevertheless, sin is real. It's something we deal with, each and every one of us deal with it. None is immune to sin. We have consequences that we deal with on a daily basis sometimes because of sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so we dealt with that last week. Well, today we're going to deal with a passage that is full of encouragement for God's people. And we need it. We're being kept hinged up, locked up, distanced, whatever you want to call it. And so we need to find encouragement. We need to find some time that we can look into the Word of God and find encouragement there. And so as we read, we're going to... This is actually a very familiar passage of Scripture. Many of you quote it quite often. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. And we're going to read down to verse 31. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In verse number 27, as this passage begins, as we begin to read it, you'll see a very common problem that is common today in our lives, just as much as it was in the nation of Israel. Whenever Isaiah wrote this here passage, the problem here is, if you read it with me again, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. My way is hid, this hidden, the unknown. That which is unknown, many times we neglect to even try to comprehend it. I want to tell you something, that knowledge is very powerful. And the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, and we need wisdom from God, not earthly wisdom, but we need wisdom from God to come and to help us throughout our decision-making processes. But he said here, he asked a question, the prophet did. Isaiah asked a question. He said, why sayest thou, O Jacob, or Israel, the nation of Israel, and speak us, O Israel. My way is hid from the Lord. What way is that? Whatever situation you find yourself in, it seems though that what I'm going through is unknown to everybody else, but the Bible teaches us that there is no temptation that is not common to man that tries to overtake us. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. And so here the question he asked to the nation is, why are you saying that your way, whatever you're going through, whatever it seems to be that the road of life has taken you down, or which fork of the road or the bend of the road of life that you're in, why are you saying it's hid from the Lord? Because we know there's passages that teach us that everything is open to the eye of God. But sometimes this is the problem. And then he says there, and you say, my judgment is passed over from my God. It's like, okay, it was presented to God, but like, did God put it on a shelf? Is it like sometimes lawsuits? I remember talking with someone in a particular lawsuit that finally settled out of court. It took them like 6 years of just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so, he says, why are you saying that God hasn't judged and done right? It's not like a case before court that gets appealed and gets appealed. To be honest with you, sometimes, dear friend, God answers straightway yes, and sometimes it's flat out no. And other times he makes us wait until the fullness of time. That's what he did whenever he gave to us the promise in Genesis 3 about the Messiah, as it would come forth. And in Galatians 4, it says in the fullness of time. And there was a long waiting period there. But what it causes in you and I is a skeptical response to the fulfillment of God's word. God says all power is given unto him in heaven and earth. Now, up to this point, the nation of Israel had all kind of miraculous things that God had done for them. All kind of historical, factual events that took place in their life. At this point, they could think back and be told to the story of Jericho and how they walked around the wall of Jericho until on the seventh day, seven times, God caused it to crash down, and to fall. That was just one instance there that they could have went back to. Of course, they could have went back all the way to the wandering in the desert after the plagues and the mighty hand of God. But, sometimes we have a very skeptical response because our eyes are fixed upon the problem that is around us. And the prophet in verse 27 says, why sayest thou, Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, that my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed from my God? The familiar personal experience that they were going through and we go through, we suffer. But it seems like, the trials and tribulations that we face now, just like with them, sometimes it seems to us, and sometimes to others, it seems that God is just indifferent to mine and your problems. I want to promise you, dear friend, that God loves and cares for each and every one of us. He is not indifferent. I do know this, that God answers and works according to his own goodwill and wisdom. And sometimes we have to be patient and understand that. Sometimes we see injustices take place, and we're saying, well, God, why don't you make this right? Why are you not making this right? We, if we're not careful, dear friend, we have to be still for a moment. If we're not careful, we will cast doubt upon the very power of God in our lives because of the problems that we're facing. It is nothing new under the sun. Prophet after prophet had the same problem. Elijah called down fire from heaven, consumed up the sacrifice, killed the prophets of Baal. Next thing you know, he's hiding off in a corner in the cave because of Jezebel. And just that quick, he forgot about the power of God. And he sees, you know, we see these injustices and we see the problems that are around us. And we got to be careful that we say, God, you got to work now. Who are we to demand that God should work at this very moment? God works in his own good pleasure and will. You know, and sometimes we hear about others in the church family or the Christian walk, and we hear about other friends that maybe they're hearing from heaven. You know, they give us a testimony. And today, boy, I was riding down the road today, and boy, the Spirit of God moved, and it was just as if God was in the car. I mean, it's like, well, man, heaven's been shut up. It's a sounding brass to me. God is not even here. God says that his ear is not short or stopped up, that he cannot hear, but it is our sin. But we compare and we make comparative circumstances like we're comparing apples to apples, but really it's apples to oranges, because what God is teaching me, he may not be teaching you that yet. What he's teaching you, he may not be ready to teach me that yet. And as I go through the school of life, I have to face things that bring me to face with what God is doing in my life, and how he's doing, you know, in your life. Is you're going to just have to, you know, be careful. You know, as others get answers and it seems you're getting none, that is not true, dear friend. God hears. God loves us and he cares for us. I think here's the problem. Many times we take our weaknesses, the weaknesses are in ourselves, and we say, well, I'm created in the image and likeness of God, so because I'm weak, God must be weak. And we try to project that weakness over there before God. Now listen, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, this evening. And look what it says in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. I tell you, it's been a blessing as we've done this I was kind of skeptical about live streaming altogether because I said, boy, Brother Bill, if we do live streaming, people are looking for excuses to stay out of church anyway. They won't even be to church. But I was blessed by the numbers that were in church Sunday and looking forward when everybody's out. But what I've been amazed at is people in Canada, people in Greece, people in Indiana, people in Arizona, getting up early in Arizona to watch us and have church with us on church. And so I love the fact I was back in church and seeing y'all face to face. Boy, and Sunday, when I was able to reach out and just shake the deacon's hands and the deacon's wife's hand and say thank you, that was a blessing, just that touch to be there. I know that I squirted some hand cleaner on them, but about done that, about erased all my fingerprints off with all this hand cleaner we're putting on. Let's get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And we're talking about taking our weaknesses, the weakness that's in ourselves, and we project them onto God like, you know, God is weak. God is all powerful. Listen to what it says here. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. This is Paul writing, the great man of God. A thorn in the flesh. And listen to what he says. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. This ain't the messenger of God. This thorn in the flesh is the devil poking and reminding and buffeting Paul, a messenger of Satan, and listen to what it says. And this is why God allowed it, lest I should be exalted above measure. Sometimes, say different, we think too highly of ourselves. And our weaknesses are there for a reason, and it's not our weaknesses making God weak. Let's read on. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice. Why didn't he ask Satan to remove it? Satan's our enemy. That's why he didn't. He went to his heavenly Father who loved him and cared for him. And he said, Father, would you remove it? He went three times, the Bible says. He said, that it might depart from me. Verse 9. And this is what God said. And he said unto me, the Lord said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress. Why? For Christ's sake, when I am weak, Paul said, he finally learned it. He finally grasped it. God's not weak. But when I'm weak, then am I strong. Why? Because I rest in the Lord. I rest in the Lord. And listen, God hasn't forgotten us. He has hadn't passed us by and said, you know, oh, they're a nobody. I don't have time for them. Dear friend, do you remember when the press was so great around him that the woman with the issue of blood just said, may I touch the hem of his garment? And Jesus stopped and paused for her. Oh, dear friend, when we are weak, our God is strong. And we need to stop projecting or deflecting or reflecting, however you want to put it, our weakness onto God and say, well, because I'm weak in this area, God said, I can do all things. This is what the devil says. Here's the verse. Says, you can do all things through Christ with strength. And that's why you can't, because really, God is not able. That's the same thing he's done in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, is to cast doubt upon the Word of God. And the nation of Israel is there, and they're asking these questions, says, well, you know, why is what I'm going through, why is what we as a nation going through, why is it hid from God? Listen, dear friend, every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. But I live in a nation, though things are bad, though things are called wicked, good, and good, evil, there are still those that are love God and stand up for right and are good ambassadors for Christ. And there are still those that are trying to make a difference in this world for the cause of Christ. And God is still watching over our nation and using our nation to be a blessing to the world. Well, how can you say that? Because we are supporting missionaries around the world from right here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. The gospel is the most important thing in this world. Not our 401k, not our retirement, not our promotion, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important. So God is still using us. And I'm going to tell you, as long as we as a nation continue to propagate the gospel, continue as a people that love the poor and try to help the needy and the fatherless and the widows. And yes, they're wicked. There was wicked leaders in the Lord's day. There's been wicked leaders from evil men shall wax worse and worse. But these wicked congressmen or congress ladies and senators and governors and mayors and constables, all of them cannot dethrone our God. There's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and that includes every congressperson up there in Washington, and confess that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's a common problem. You and I go through this. I'm not immune to it. There's times in my life where I just say, Lord, where are you? Lord, is what I'm going through, is there scales on your eyes, Lord? Lord, I can't do this, therefore I'm a failure, and you can't help me because I'm too far gone. Really? There it is. I know you notice verse number 28. So the problem's in 27, and it's a common problem. Look at verse 28. Listen how the prophet writes here. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. You know, the Bible does with us with salvation. We are emotional creatures, but salvation is not based upon emotions. Salvation is based upon the Word of God. What God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That makes me feel sad. That's an emotion. You feeling sad is not going to change the fact that you're a sinner. It's not. It's not going to, you can feel happy. You feeling happy is not going to, well, I'm angry and mad at this sin that I keep committing. Your anger is not going to change the fact that you are a sinner and I'm a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God doesn't deal with emotions when it comes to eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, this is what he says. These things are written. What does that mean? God deals with intellect. He deals with knowledge, with wisdom, wisdom from above. The prophet says, you have a problem. Now your emotions are involved, Israel. Your emotions have captivated your mind and your eyes and your heart. And now you're comparing as if God doesn't love you. Because if God loved me, I surely wouldn't be going through this. If God cared for me, I wouldn't be having these problems. Those are emotional problems. He turns and begins to deal with their intelligence. Hast thou not known? Now they got to pause and think. I told you knowledge is wonderful. Knowledge is powerful. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the God of the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He gets their attention with dealing with facts. And that's something that we're not dealing with here lately. We're dealing with fear and false reports and false advertising, false this. Facts, knowledge, wisdom. He gets their attention off of the emotional and gets them back onto the intellect. Now they have to think, hast thou not known? What have we known about God? And then they begin to catalog and to pull it back up. And they he gives them a few hints. He throws in a little bit here. It's kind of like a professor that's on his last exam, and he's trying to get the kids to get the best grade he can, you know, and he goes by and he sees that some of them are struggling, and he kind of throws a hint out there. The prophet says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Listen. In unusual circumstances, our focus can get blurred and off of God and our affections on things of this earth and not on things above. And so we have to be careful, and we have to stay with this and stay with the Word of God. The Word of God is absolute. It is powerful. It is alive. It is helpful. It's encouraging. It is encouragement to the soul. It's like medicine to the bone and to the marrow, to the navel. It is helpful. He says, hast thou not known? And he begins to move away from the emotions. He said, our God's everlasting. God didn't go off into a cave somewhere back in March 1st, whenever we got the executive orders that we should stay at home. God didn't just check out. I mean, it didn't like he went off and visited another galaxy. He's on his throne, dear friend. He's everlasting, and he's the creator of ends of the earth. And, when Isaiah was saying this and talking to them, he said he's the creator. Listen, what he was stating basically was, is if he created it, he can sustain it. He will sustain it. Colossians 1:17. All things are consist by Him. Hast thou not known? When we get to these difficult times and situations and hardships in our life, we got to remind ourselves we're not the first ones to go through these difficult times. We're not the first ones to have heartaches. But the same answer for those folks is the same answer for us. And it's that there is no infirmity that can outpower God. There is no wisdom, no doctor's degree, no theologian, no professor that can search or fathom the wisdom of God. Listen to what it says in verse 28. There is no searching of His understanding. What is the prophet telling us? He said we need to correct our vision, get our vision off of the emotion, get it back on facts, get it back into the Word of God, into something that's absolute, something that is not changing. And we reverse our thinking and we remind ourselves of the purpose of God, who God is, and He's the everlasting God. And look at the provisions, verse 29-31. You have the problem. Then we have the picture that is corrected in verse 28. Then verse 29-31, we notice the very provisions of God. He giveth power to the faint. That's some of you right now. Some of you are about ready to cast in the towel. Some of you are looking over in your corner like a boxer, like you've been beat up for the last 10 rounds and wondering why in the world the manager isn't throwing in the towel on your behalf. He giveth power to the faint. You've asked yourself, God, do you see where I am at? I'm reminding you through Scripture that He is the everlasting God. The Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not, neither is weary. He's not tired. He's not up there taking a nap somewhere. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, He increaseth their strength. He goes on to remind us, He said, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I don't know why we as Christians sometimes don't understand why young people fall, face into sin and failure. God reminds us, even the youths. That's why He tells us over in Ecclesiastes that we should serve God in our youth. Why? Because we strengthen ourselves, but even in our youth, the youth shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. I don't know why we're surprised at that. I don't know why at all, the young man. He says, I'll give you power. And He says, hold up, let me remind them. Some of us in our middle age, some of us in our latter years, some of us even before, even young children probably watching tonight, they're going to go through things in their life and they're going to have to come face to face with the fact that their problems are real, but God is greater than their problems. Greater is He that's in me than he that is in this world. God has ways of reviving the weakness and restoring our faith. That's why it's so important for fellowship of believers. That's why it's so important. Well, there's a Bible time and meditation time and singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, the fact that is increased, that's what He says there, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth their strength. That means that there has to be a starting point somewhere. He will not fail you. He loves you and He cares for you and He desires for you. And our insufficiency in our human strength and our human might, it's inadequate. But His adequacy is great. He is able. Well able. Well able. Well, here it is. Here's the answer. But, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We've got to get to the point where we realize we can't do it on our own. Lord, I'm your servant. This doesn't mean wait, put off, get all, you know, get in time out somewhere. That's not what this is saying, to go sit in a corner and wait on God to come by. You know, that's where they found Elijah, the man of God, and God had to talk to him, and before we know it, he's chasing down a chariot. He had to get out and move. Peter didn't wait off in the corner like the other 11 disciples. He got up and got out of the boat. He got out. He got busy. He waited. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We got to get to the point where we realize our priority is God. We were created for His pleasure, for His glory, for His honor. And our priority has to be God. We wait upon Him. And by waiting upon Him, His power, His strength, and His love, and His tender mercy, and His gentleness flows out into our life and begins to renew our strength. It's like the old engine that's cold in the wintertime. And, you know, you get out there and try to start it up. Then you put those boosters on and the power booster, and then all of a sudden the pinions and the pistons inside that engine begin to go. Why? Because it needed help from outside. And this old body of flesh, dear friend, it is sinful, and we need to rely upon God. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God makes special provision for those that will serve Him. Then wait upon Him. God provides, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, God provides in every area of our life. Every area of our life. He does provide. God will give us resistance against sin. Why? Because He said, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. He is holy, be ye holy. And it helps us to resist. And it'll give us endurance. Paul said, I finished my fight. I've kept my course. Where'd that come from? From God Almighty. From the powerful hand of God. He gives us, he imputes to us the ability to have steadfastness in holiness in this wicked world. Preacher, how do you know that? Noah found grace in the eyes of God, dear friend, where nobody else wanted to walk with God. Nobody else cared about God. Nobody else cared about things of God, but Noah had the steadfastness to live a holy life. Joy. I mean, some of you have been robbed for joy for years. And I don't understand this. You don't have to be. The reason I think most of us are robbed of that joy is because we're living in that weakness and not enjoying the strength of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I mean, He gives us and provides for us to have joy. I mean, He helps us. He gives us the ability to press on. To press on. Where's that ability? Greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. Here's the big secret. I'm going to let it out the bag. Verse 27, there's a problem. It's a common problem. Everybody has this same mindset. We get down and out. We slide down the hill. We get in the valley. And all of a sudden we say, God, where are you? I've got heart problems. I got health problems. I got work problems. I got relationship problems. God, where are you? You sure you're not? He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He hasn't put your problem off on a shelf and said, well, I'll get to it after I work on these other ones. He's at work. He's at work on you. So there's the problem. And then the prophet begins to take the word of God and begins to correct our vision, correct the picture, and begins to line it up right. And we get out of our emotion. He says, listen, hast thou not known? Surely, surely, the Word of God is the wisdom we need. This is God's story to us so that we know about Him and how He operates and who He is. And then He shows us how He provides, how He takes care. He giveth power to the faint, verse 29. He increaseth the strength. He tells us, hey, you're not alone. Even the young, the military age, even the young, they shall fall. Utterly. I mean, He says utterly fall. It's no wonder and we get all choked up and surprised when they do that. We need to be very careful that we are not running from an opportunity to be a help to these young folks. Give them a hand up out of the muck and mire. We spend our whole life trying to avoid those that have failed and live in failure when that's all Jesus wanted to be around. People that was messed up. The righteous brought the woman that was caught in the very act, wanted to stone her according to the law, the righteous law. But when it's all said and done, the only one around her was Jesus. Here's the secret. I'm letting out the bag real quick. You're going to have to wait on the Lord. We've got to get this mindset that whatever we do, we do it heartily as unto the Lord. Well, I'll do it if brother so-and-so is in charge. Well, I'll come to this here fellowship if sister so-and-so is going to be the one organizing it. I'll come out and I'll be involved if I can be in charge. We've got to wait on the Lord. We have to be servants, a servant's heart. I mean, looking to, if you want your strength provided, you want to take up as, mount up as wings as eagles, you want to run, you want to not be weary, you want to walk and not faint, it's only going to happen when we wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The Lord has to be our priority. First, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I know it's old hash. I'm stirring up the pot. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But I'm telling you, dear friend, listen. Some of you are fainting. Some of you are tired. And some of you need to know that God loves you. He cares for you. And this passage is full of encouragement. Full of strength. It's a reminder to us that God loves us and cares for us. Let's listen to Rock of Ages for a moment, then I'll close us in prayer. Well, amen. Rock of Ages, God that we can lean upon. I am so thankful for a God that loves me, cares for me, loves on me, strengthens me, encourages me. Even when earlier in the day, I was saying, God, where yet? And He shows Himself strong, and He loves me and cares for me. Thank you for being with me. Looking forward to seeing you this Sunday morning, Sunday school, 10 o'clock. And worship service 11 o'clock here at the church. And if you can't make it, if you're feeling like you're still not able to get out, we'll be live and ready to go at 11 o'clock service. Sunday school will not be live, but church service will be at 11 o'clock. Father, thank you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to meet tonight. Bless us, Lord, as we close out this evening. Help us to honor you with our mind, our thoughts, our heart, and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed evening.